Thank you so much, you guys. And one of the things you have to put up with me on is my fidgeting with the glasses, so I hope you'll be patient with me. The reason I can stand up here before you today is because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's the one who infuses inner strength into me. The reason I don't know any more word than most of you, and I don't have any advantages working for me than any of you. So the reason I can even begin to share a little bit of God's word with you is because God is at work within me to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I choose to believe that. So if you would open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. Somebody was talking earlier about the beautiful blonde, or they were talking about the right weight and the little body. Well, you know, I grew up in a totally different atmosphere. I was the stick. All the women in my family were shorter than me. They were very buxom women. They had nice full legs, and I had these little sticks. So I always thought there was something wrong with me. And it's just a great example of what you girls go through in your mind. You're comparing yourselves to other people, and you think that you need to be a certain way. You guys have all watched TV, right? Have you ever seen one person on the television that looks like you, that acts like you, that you could emulate physically? I don't think so. You girls need to get off this stuff about your size, your weight, your height, your age, and all these other kind of things, because you are unique, and I hope I'll show you a little bit of that. But the reason I can do all these things is because of what Jesus Christ did for me. And that's what we'll look at in 1 Peter chapter 2 to begin. Verse 24 is talking about Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. In one act, one of giving his life for you and you and you and you and me, our righteousness was accomplished and our healing. And it's up to us to choose to believe that or not. And do you know what righteousness means? Everybody has their own little definition. But what I like to say is that it helps me is that I'm right in his sight. Not because of who I am, not because of anything good that I've done, but because he gave his life for me. He made me right. He accomplished my healing. He suffered greatly physically and in his body, mentally and physically. You think he didn't suffer in his heart and mind the things that he was going through physically? Yes, he certainly did. And he did it so that I don't have to suffer. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. So nice to be in the hot seat, because I'll be out of it after this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We've been made righteous. It's not my own righteousness. It's not something that I can accomplish. I've lived life long enough to know I just can't do it right by myself. That's why I choose to believe what God says about me, what he can do for me, and what he can work in my life. Look, please, at Ephesians chapter 1. You've been made the righteousness of God in him, and quite a few other things as well. There's so many things that Christ accomplished for us, it would be pretty hard to go through all of them in one day or even one week. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He's the one that made us lovely and acceptable. It doesn't matter what clothes you're wearing, what jewelry you have on. Doesn't matter what color your hair is and what size you are. He's the one that made us lovely and acceptable. And you can choose whether you want to believe that or not. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Most of you probably know, if not all of you, what grace is. It's undeserved favor. It's God's divine favor in your life. Have any of you ever known somebody with a little kid that, you know, they just let them do and have whatever they want, and you go, man, that kid is spoiled. Well, there's a bunch of spoiled kids sitting in this room. You can have whatever you want, and you can do whatever you want, but it's up to you to believe that, to choose that. I didn't tear my little paper good enough. Now you see my big notes. My daughter was laughing at me, and she goes, wow, Mom, you sure have a bunch of notes all over this desk. And I said, no, that's just what I need to get my, you know, for myself. I read things from God's word, or I think about things from God's word that get me in the mode, that fill up that heart of mine so that out of the abundance of the mouth, my heart can speak, or out of the abundance of the heart, my mouth can speak. I've got to put something in there if I want something to come out. So then there always comes this time where you have to kind of like shuffle up all the papers, you put them aside, and it's like, Christ in me, I can do all things through him which strengtheneth me. Please go to Psalms 34. Make sure I didn't skip something important here. I did. But Psalm 34. I want to thank all of you who've been praying for me. You're so wonderful. I was looking at you guys last night when people were talking about questions that they had, or things that they wanted to learn, or things in, you know, life that they wanted to know more about, and most of them were in regards to women. And I just thought about, you know, there's all these people sitting here that know something that will bless your life. There's somebody here that can help lead you to the answer that you need. They can show you from the word, or they can show you from experiencing the word in their life. In Psalm 34, verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth. We just saw from the word that we're righteous. So why do we think if we need to cry or we need to ask that it's wrong? It says the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord God is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And save us such as be of a contrite or bruised or crushed spirit. Why is this in here if we're supposed to be perfect little women walking around all the time with never an emotion, never a hurt, or never a need? The reason God gave us his word and the reason he gave us his son is because we need it. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. Jesus Christ was perfect. His word is perfect. But we're his kids. A lot of you have kids. Do you love your kids when they're not perfect? Yes, you do. And God is the same way with us. And sometimes our heart has been broken. Sometimes our heart has been crushed or bruised. But God can heal your heart. One of my favorite ladies in the Bible is named Hannah. Do any of you know about Hannah? Ever read about her? She was Samuel's mother. Hannah, if I'd had another girl, I was going to name her Hannah. Because I just what it reminds me of, that name, that word, what it brings up in my heart and in my mind. Hannah was a very upset and distraught woman. Her husband loved her. He'd give her a double portion. He had two wives. You think you have problems sometimes. I mean, she had quite the competition going there. He loved her and he gave her a double portion, but she was miserable. And if you look at those words in that record, you will see that she was so upset and so hurt that she cried, she wept, and she couldn't even eat. She was really upset. So some of us get upset. And there, if you live life, I mean, sooner or later, you might have a kind of a traumatic experience at some time. It could be your health. It could be your marriage. It could be your children. It could be just you, something going on with you. And you might get distraught. And it's okay to let these things go and look at it and open it up. You know what Hannah did? She whined and she bitched and she cried about it. How unfair life was because she couldn't have a kid. In her culture, that had a tremendous thing to do with her self-esteem. That was her self-esteem. That's what, you know, would make her feel good about herself. You know what she did? No crying and whining. She went to God. And in her day and time, the way you went to God was you went to the temple or you went to the man of God or, you know, in that way. She went to him and she laid it out. She went to him and told him what she wanted. And she also told him what her commitment to him was. I know you can do this, God. I know. And in return, I'm going to give it right back to you. Give me a son. She had her son. And some people don't keep reading. She did raise him. She taught him, you know, the word. She taught him the things that he needed to know till he was at the point where he could go out on his own. And she took him to the temple and she gave him to God. What did she get back? Does anybody know how many other kids she had? Five or six. I always get confused about what it was. Look what God gave back to her. But she had a need to feel right about herself. She had a need to feel like she was righteous. God already accomplished our righteousness in Christ. But sometimes there are things that we need in our lives or that we want in our lives that help us with our self-esteem. So that is why I would name another child. Oh, please, Lord, no. Hannah. So what is it you want in your life? What is it you need in your life? What are you afraid that you can't have? I mean, that's a pretty big thing. If a woman's barren to have a child, and not only that, have quite enough, another fistful. So she took it to God, and that's what we need to do. Sometimes we need to just be calm and peaceful and allow ourselves a little bit of time to be still, as was covered today, and know that he is God. I've found in my life, you know, there are a lot of different phases in your life. I was the young woman with the huge dreams and all these wild things. I'd picture myself running some company and but I was really shy. And some of you might find that, you know, kind of unbelievable, but I was. You know, whatever it is you want to be, the confidence that you have, you want to have, the peace that you want to have, and the successes, the accomplishments that you want to have, they don't always happen in one day. Hannah, it didn't happen in one day. And I'm sure, I mean, she went through a process before she got to the point that she had the confidence to go to God, ask for what she want, and believe that she would get it. Take time. I found that no matter what I'm doing, what phase of life I've been in, and you know, there are times where you do have many more demands, like Jennifer has six children. And if your righteousness depends on how many scriptures you read today and how long you spent praying, you might be in trouble on some days. And I've found that I can always get up 15 minutes earlier or go to bed 15 minutes later. And I particularly, when my children were young, once they're up and rolling, they're everywhere. And for me particularly, I always found that at night it was good. And the other principle with that, I mean, whichever works for you is what's good. But another thing about nighttime is that you girls need to clear the slate at night. You need to put off the day. You need to quit worrying about everybody and everything that's going on. You know, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. You are not the Savior of the body. You do not have to take care of every need there is in your life. You know, in the people's lives around you and all that. Jesus Christ was the Savior. You can let it go, get peaceful, and decide what you want to happen the next day. Give it to God. Get peaceful. If you need to ask God to forgive you, I was telling somebody one time that it used to be when I first knew God's word, that sometimes I had to ask God 50,000 times before I would just let something go. And the more time I spent in God's word and the more I saw about that, Jesus Christ accomplished my righteousness. He laid down his life for me. why do I have to keep beating myself up? Is not what he did good enough for me? Can I not just accept that forgiveness and let it go? Look at Psalm 1. Please. I don't want to order you around. This was covered earlier, so I'll just look at verse 2 is one I want to mention. Blessed is the man. Well, I guess we'll do one. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And I wanted to point out meditating. Biblically, from what I understand, meditating for me is speaking the word to myself. It is telling me who I am and what I have. It is telling me to let go of that and move on to this. It is speaking God's word to me, that I do have Christ in me, that I can do all things. Maybe I'm not doing it the second, but I can. When you read the word, you don't have to spend, I don't have 6 hours every day to spend in the word, but sometimes I take a day or I take a morning for me. At one point in my life, I was so very, very busy, had a lot of responsibilities. Besides a husband and a family, I had other ministry type responsibilities. And I found that after a week or two, it's what someone earlier was talking about, I could no longer do things because I decided to. I could no longer do things out of the love of God in my heart. I needed a break. And God taught me that in my own life, and he can teach you in your life what it is you need, you know, to be refreshed. Maybe it's a certain scripture. Maybe it's hanging out with somebody who just loves you so much they love you into loving yourself. You know, maybe it's time to read or time away from any other responsibilities. And it changed my life when I started taking out. I was a little bit religious back then. I only did it every maybe 2.5 to 3 weeks. I took off a whole morning just for me. But what I learned is I can do whatever it is I need and take the time that I need. And I can meditate and speak the word to myself. Or I can read the word. I can go shopping, you know, and get some. I never even knew how to shop. When I was a girl, my mother is a wonderful woman. She's giving, she's loving, she's kind, and she's selfless. But I learned, one thing I learned from her, and I know with her great heart of love, she never meant to teach it to me, is that I am always last. And it's not right for me to ever say, my mother had 7 children. And she always, if somebody gave her something, she gave it to one of them. If she got a little bit of money, she spent it on somebody else. My mother, and we didn't have a lot. My father was totally disabled when I was 12 years old. And he was sent to New Mexico to die. They thought he might live a little bit longer if he was there in that dry, hot climate because he had problems with his lungs. His lungs were destroyed, so much so that they wanted to experiment on him and do lung transplants. They sent us out there, so there was quite a period of time where we didn't have very much. But I never felt like that in my family, except when I looked at my mom. As time went on, somebody would buy her a dress, she'd go buy 2 dresses. And she hadn't had a new dress in 2 or 3 years. And I'll tell you what, she just couldn't live with the guilt of blessing herself with 2 dresses. It wouldn't be 2 or 3 weeks and she'd give them away to somebody else and wear her old ones. And I knew my mom was loving, and when I got older and I was married, what I saw was there are sometimes things in your mind that make you feel guilty or make you they have a lot to do with the decisions you make for your life. I would never spend any money on me. I would never go shopping. I felt guilty if I bought myself something. I just wouldn't do it. And when I started seeing more and more in God's word what he wanted, that in order for me to be my best, I mean, if I came in here in a gunny sack, now some of you know me, you'd laugh, but if I came in here in a gunny sack to teach God's word, you'd say, what in the world is this? And you know, what if I just need, you know, another one. You're talking about, somebody was talking about body types earlier. Do you know that sometimes I feel fat? Yes, I do. I feel fat because I've washed those cotton pants 29 times because they're tight. And I'm going, man, I'm really getting fat. So you know what I do? I go buy a bigger size. I don't feel fat anymore. I don't feel guilty anymore. And I'm not distracted about it. You know, that's something that you girls need to do to take care of yourself. I mean, it's all your own perception in your mind. And you can change that perception. All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let the mind of Christ be in you. You don't have to earn it. Jesus Christ made it available to you. The righteousness, the redemption, the forgiveness of sins, to have Holy Spirit. I just don't know why so many women have so little self-value, so little self-worth. Why are they constantly comparing themselves to some other woman or to some other person or to some other personality? God loves you unconditionally. Do you know how we know that? Because Romans tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. If nothing can separate you from the love of God, then his love is unconditional. But why do we always compare ourselves? Why are we so hard on ourselves? Why do we have such, think that we're so invaluable? John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should live. He gave his son for you. Are you worth anything? Would you give your son or your daughter for someone else's life? Because maybe you don't value someone else's life enough to give your child, but God did. That's your value. Somebody mentioned earlier the issues of life, that you need to guard your heart, guard what goes into your heart, what you think about yourself, because that's the issues of life for you. That's who you, that's how you'll end up living your life. If it's negative, if it's not what God says about you, it's a lie. What TV says is a lie. Now, it can be pretty entertaining if you know who you are. But if you have a day where you don't know who you are in Christ, I wouldn't recommend watching anything on TV. I really wouldn't. Please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. See, I'm getting nicer. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Colossians tells us that we have Christ in us. Ephesians tells us that we have access to God. Not when you feel good enough, not when you get over it, whatever you're getting over. I certainly have got to get over things once in a while. Thankfully, I don't take as long as I used to. Thankfully, I can just remember some of the things that God's word says about me and what was given for me, that I could be blessed and that I could be happy. So you have Christ in you. The word tells us that we're complete in Christ. The word tells us that we have all spiritual blessings, that it's all in every one of us. We're on equal footing when it comes to the spiritual things of life. So why compare yourselves? First Corinthians verse 13 first. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made and have been all made to drink into one spirit. It's one spirit. It's not a spirit for mommies, a certain spirit for women who are mommies. It's not a certain spirit for women who are single. It's not a certain spirit for people who are older or younger, taller or shorter. It's the same spirit in each and every one of us. We're on an equal footing. And it's not by anything that we have done, because Jesus Christ paid the price for all of our sins that we could be righteous. Now look at verse 27, please. This great analogy in this section about the body of Christ. Other scriptures tell us that Christ is the head, and it talks about the body. They don't all do the same thing. But verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." Adam had body, soul, and spirit. He lost spirit. God was so concerned about that, the relationship, as Regina was sharing earlier. It's the importance of the relationship. It's not all this busy work and everything else. But God was so concerned about that that he spent ages here and much time bringing that back and making that available to us. So we all have spirit. What about your body, your soul? I always think of, you know, here's your body. That's one thing. You can do a lot of things to your body. You can change your weight. You can't change your height, but you can. There's a lot of things. Your hair, you know, you can change a lot of things about your body. But your soul is what makes you you, and what makes you a unique person, and what makes you special is the combination of God in Christ in you and who you are as a person. The things that you like to do, the talents or abilities that you may have, your perspective, the way you look at things in the world, the way you perceive it. You know, a lot of common themes have come up in the teachings today, but there was a little bit of difference to every one of those, because that person is different. Their heart is different. The details of their life is different. And when God works in them and in their life to bless them, it's a little bit different. And this word particular, it doesn't mean, oh boy, now I'm just one of the crowd again. It means a specific, particular person, one who is special. It's not that you're just a bunch of clones. And I would like to tell you, this is my personal opinion, God doesn't want a bunch of clones, a bunch of clone women. They all look alike. They all dress alike. They all say the same thing in exactly the same way. The only thing that God tells us to be alike in is the things of his word. That we are to agree with his word, not with what other people tell us, not with what experiences we've had. Because as you know, some experiences are a lie. They were not what God intended for you to have. It's not because of any shortcoming in your life. So you're unique because of who you are. No clones, okay? It's really a pet peeve of mine. My husband was telling me about this woman who came to work at his day job. And he said that she got to sharing with him, because sometimes you're attracted to Christ in you. And you'll say, oh, that person looks familiar, or that I like being around that person. That came up today as well. Well, she got to, a lot of times people get to talking to my husband at work because he takes Christ in him wherever he goes. And she was different. He said she didn't have on, there are a lot of salespeople and saleswomen where he works. And I've noticed over the years that after new women come in, after, you know, 6 months, 8 months, or a year, they all look exactly alike. Their busts are all exactly the same size. I'm serious. Their hairstyle is all exactly the same. And they all dress alike. They wear the same type of clothes from the same store. And I don't mean eerie, you know, like in a spooky movie. But basically, they all start emulating each other because that's what they think is cool to do there. Well, this woman doesn't. And her particular job, she doesn't have to go. She comes in, she's got on slacks. She doesn't care if her clothes came from Dillard's or Kmart. She doesn't care. She does her job, and so much so, she is so different that sometimes people look down on her. They make little snide remarks or whatever. Well, for years, she's kind of had this attitude because she's very comfortable with who she is. She's comfortable not looking like everybody else and acting like everybody else. And so the smart remarks come, the snide remarks, the little, you know, digs or chops. And you know what happens with her? She just knows who she is. She, in her job, she gets this job. Next thing you know, she gets hired for more. Next thing you know, she's in charge of all these people that have been sniping her. She just walks in who she is. And Mike said it's just the greatest thing to see. So what does all this have to do with self-image? Your self-image is much like a self-portrait. It's who and what you picture yourself to be. And it may not be an accurate reflection of who you really are. How you feel about yourself has a tremendous impact on the person you become. You will speak, you will act, and you will react as the person you think you are. You will never rise above your own self-image. God does not force you to believe what he accomplished for you in Christ. It's your choice. Don't allow your self-esteem, your sense of value, to be determined by how other people treat you. God accepts us even if others reject us. Dare to be happy with who you are. God doesn't want a bunch of clones. You see, I told you, it's a pet peeve of mine. You should not let people make you feel badly because you don't fit their image of who you should be. You are in charge of your life. You come up with your own image. When you go around trying to be like somebody else, not only does it demean you, but it steals your uniqueness. God put value into us when he made us his kids. You have something to offer the world that nobody else has because of your unique personality, your unique perspective. You know, there was a time when people would say, well, I was supposed to do these incidents, you know, and tell about this dynamic thing I had done, this life-changing thing. And I'm like, well, I don't have anything to share. I haven't done anything dynamic. I haven't done anything that would, you know, change the world. But each one of us have things that we are inclined to do. Maybe you are good at, you know, hanging out with teenagers, kind of connecting with them on their level. Maybe you are good at healing, helping people to get healed mentally, helping people with physical things that you have learned, that you have, you know, that you know about, that will help them to get to a point where they can completely recover from problems that they may have in their life. Maybe you're just real good at calming everything down. Everything is wild and crazy, and you walk in and everything calms down. And maybe you're good at giving somebody a pep talk. And maybe you're just really good at those little one-liners. You never talk, you never say anything, but all of a sudden this one little line comes out of your mouth and it just carries everything. If you are doing you, if you're doing the best that you can right now, then you should and you can feel good about yourself. Don't be a copycat. Don't try to be somebody else. You be an original. You know, a lot of successful people in the world, if you read about them, you read their story, they've all listened to an inner voice or to a higher being. They've all had something working in their life that directed them and got them to where they are today. Well, some people, most of them, are talking about God, but we can say that it's God that works within us to will and to do of his good pleasure, that it's God that will strengthen us and cause us to triumph, that he will help us overcome any obstacle, any hurt, and any shortcoming that we may have, that we have free will to decide what we want to think about ourselves and what we want to do with our lives is guaranteed by God's word. He's a God of free will. And I might add to some of you young women, if you're going out there looking around to find this guy, you're waiting for this guy that you're going to fall in love with, that's not it. It's your choice. You may meet somebody that you like, you may meet somebody that you're attracted to, and then you decide that you like them. You people that are married, people, women, well, we're people. You decide to love that man or that woman, and you decide to get married. And you know what? Every day you can decide again. It's your decision. And when you make a decision, you know how you know when you're believing rightly about yourself or when you're doing the right thing for you at the time, what you've decided to do? You know, you can sit there and mentally assent. Oh, yeah, I'm righteous. Oh, yeah, I have Christ in me. Oh, yeah, it's all in all. Oh, yeah, I'm complete. And it can be mental assent. You know when you're believing it? When you start acting like it. That's when you're believing it. Just start acting like it. The feelings follow what you're thinking. So if you're having bad feelings, you need to change something so that you can think rightly and have those good feelings to go with it. Okay? I better wrap this up here. You define who you are. You know, it also says in right now that there's no condemnation. And a lot of people argue with that. Oh, that's after I get it right. That's after I do something, you know, to make up for my shortcoming or whatever sin. Oh, somebody said it earlier, you know, oh, I didn't speak very nicely, I didn't do right. But the word says right now, there's no condemnation. It says right now, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Right now, you can have confidence toward God because he loves you and he gave his son to you and for you. I wanted to close in Psalm 118. You determine your self-image. You determine what you want to see happen in your life. And you take the actions that need to be taken for you. Whether you need to learn something new, you need to read a book, you need to chill out, you need to get over it. Whatever it is that you need for you to be confident and to be able to have a happy life. All of you are in Psalm 118, right? Oh, okay, I got to get there. That's one part of my Bible that wore out. And you know what? I didn't get confident in who I am in Christ in one day. This is not my first Bible, and I've been reading this one for 30 years. 30 years, girl. It's a process that came up today. It's something that you involve yourself in and you work toward and you put on. You put this thing off and you put this one on. You know, my husband did a teaching one time. And he came in and he had on the most god-awful looking shirt. And everybody was looking at him and he had tape on it and patches and all this kind of stuff. Well, he was teaching about put off and put on. So then he had this beautiful dress shirt. And he came out and he tried to put it on over top of this ugly old shirt. It doesn't work. In just common everyday, you can see that. So why can't you see that in your mind? You can't put new wine into old wineskins because they're brittle. They won't receive, and they'll bust, and you'll lose it. You have to put off, like just like a shirt, and you have to decide to put on. And you know what? You need to be happy. God wants you to be happy. So everybody's in Psalm 118, but not me, because I'm talking too much. Psalm 118. I don't know which verse it is because I lost it in my notes. Where's the last page? Verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Tomorrow will be the first day of the rest of your life. Every day you can choose to be happy, to be blessed. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's up to you. And if you're going through a rough spot in your life, if you've got some challenges going on, then you will to put off and put on whatever you need so that you can walk out and believe who you are in Christ. You build an image of you that is according to God's word, holy and without blame, his masterpiece, righteous. Jesus Christ paid for your righteousness, and you need to accept it. He also paid for your healing, whether it's up here, whether it's in here, or it's this thing. He paid for it. So what do you need to do to accept it? What do you need to do with your heart and your mind so that you can live in his righteousness, that you can walk with great wholeness in your mind, in your heart, and in your body? God is there for you, and he will work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He will cause you to triumph in Christ, and you really can do all things if you do them through Christ. So thank you.